sharp blade of serrated stainless steel. And it's free when you buy any one of these products.
Hello everyone, welcome to the National Women's League podcast here on Steak Knives. Today I'm joined by Nick Welch. How are you doing, Nick?
I'm very well, Cam. How about you?
I'm going well, thank you. On today's podcast, we're just going to have a look at the All-Star match from Saturday night at the Witten Oval. Obviously the Dogs won. We're just going to have a look at that match from a list management perspective and whether some players did enough to impress other clubs ahead of the upcoming draft.
Definitely.
We're also going to have a look at some of the news regarding some players and some other signings from earlier in the week.
Especially from the other sports.
From other sports, yes. We're also going to have a look at the Carlton intellectual property news. But first off, we'll start with the All-Star match. And it was a very entertaining game, despite what a lot of people thought it might be.
Well, firstly, it was a very high-scoring game, very entertaining game, possibly because of the 16-a-side and smaller ball, which means that all indications are that they're going to use those rules for the league next year. From a list management perspective, though, it doesn't mean that we talked about it last week, you know, with the new rules. From a list management perspective, though, it doesn't mean that teams are going to draft differently because of the 16-a-side. You know, players who are better at running out of space, or, you know, maybe smaller forwards are better than key forwards because there's less packs and pack marking and that. So definitely interesting.
Yeah, and a player like Caitlin Ashmore, who is Brisbane's priority pick, was a prime example of how that can affect someone's game.
More space for her to run out in the wing and use her athleticism perfectly.
Yeah, and I'd go as far as saying she was one of the best players on the field.
I agree with you 100%. She might have racked up the stats. I think she was 16 touches only or something, but 15 kicks. I think it was like 5 or 6 inside 50s, you know.
The impact that she had around
kicking wasn't perfect, but the impact that she had around the ground. Interesting was, although Taylor Harris and Sabrina Frederick-Trail up forward for Melbourne, they're Brisbane's priority picks, you know, alongside Caitlin Ashmore. And they probably didn't have the same impact that Melbourne would have hoped for them, like they have successfully done so in the past for Melbourne.
Yeah, I think they did take a few contested marks. They did impact in the forward line, but I think that their inaccurate kicking was what really cost them in the end.
In the end, but more so because of the fact there was an open forward line and you could run out of defence a bit more. Did the fact that they had the bigger key forwards impact their ability to run out of defence? And what does that mean for Brisbane, like for Brisbane's recruiting? Do they now need to work around the fact that they have two of the best, you know, tall key forwards in Australia? And they need, you know, well, we're going to have to work around them with better forward pressure players in their recruiting.
Another player that benefited from the 16-a-side match was Moana Hope. And with the open forward line.
Because she gets 100 goals, you know, she's an absolute jet of a player. But I think she was even more exaggerated by the open forward line. Because she's not massively tall, but she uses her body well and moves into space well. So she wasn't going to crash packs if there was more packs with 18 aside, you know, 4 more players in the field. So whether that means that, you know, what do Collingwood do for their list manager? You know, how do they work around the fact that Mo Hope looks like almost the best player, like gone past Daisy Pierce as the best player in Australia, especially in 16 aside.
And I think it combined that with the fact that they picked up Emma King as their other key player.
Yeah.
You'd see Collingwood as one, like, with those two players that they can build the team around. You could see them pushing up the ladder.
You'd almost think, though, that they need maybe less so defenders or you know, hard ball-winning midfielders, tackling midfielders. You just almost think that they need to get good kicks to just get the ball into Mo Hope, because hope that Emma King's good ruck work can do the work of not so good inside midfielders at winning the ball. Like, hope that they balance each other out. Like, if they're, you know, most other clubs signed a bunch of midfielders and Collingwood didn't. Meg Hutchins, you know, is a halfback who can play through midfield, but they don't have the inside midfielders. So hope that the fact that every other team is, you know, saw how good Ali Backlund paid for the Dogs, you know,
Katie Brennan
moved through midfield, and obviously Melbourne got Pierce, you know. Every club signed midfielders. So the fact that they don't have the midfielders can hopefully be counterbalanced by Emma King, and then just get good kicks, get good outside kicks just to get it into Mo Hope.
Yeah. Another, you speak about Daisy Pierce.
From
what I saw on the Saturday night, she did rack up a lot of possessions and she did have a very solid game, but I feel as though her impact wasn't as prominent as other matches.
I think Paul Groves tactically was very good at shutting down Daisy Pierce's influence, and whether that's a sign of maybe she isn't going to have quite the same impact next year as she has, you know, in these exhibition games in the past, or whether it could have just been a poor game, you know, just one game, exhibition game. So, you know, Melbourne will be hoping she can find, you know, she still is the best midfielder in Australia, so Melbourne will be hoping she can find that form again and build a midfield around her.
So in terms of the players that haven't been signed to another club already, either through marquee signings or through the priority picks, who do you feel made the best impact or the most?
It's a bit hard to tell because so many of the best players, you know, a dozen and a half of them, were already signed to clubs. So, you know, Brennan and Blackburn were through midfield and half forward, were great for the Dogs. Arnell, and they were already signed to the Dogs. Lauren Arnell is already signed to Carlton. Darcy Vessio played well.
Yeah.
She's already signed to Carlton. Brianna Davies is already signed to Carlton and played well for the Dogs. You know, they'll be very happy with the Carlton fans, very happy with how they played for the Dogs. Mo Hope, Emma King, you know, that. Kayla Nashmore, I'm just trying to go through my head of who played well for the Dogs, and almost all of them are, you know, already signed to a club. I think there was Bianca Jacobson who played well, and she was sort of an inside midfielder, could go outside a bit, and she could go fairly high in the draft. She played a good game. She lifted her draft stock there. Steph Chiocchi was actually the she certainly, I mean, she probably was already going to go highly in the draft and probably going to be the Dogs' first pick, you know, just to ensure. Or I'm not sure if she can be a priority. She could be a priority because Emma Carney, another good player for the Dogs, was already signed as well. So she didn't do a draft stock any harm with that performance.
She did have a very solid game, yes.
And she almost in a different position as well because of the 16 aside. She was playing as an outside midfielder, you know, for previous games, but she ran more of half back than usual in this game. She did her draft stock no harm. You know, you saw how good she was running off halfback. She was actually the leading disposal winner on the ground.
The Bulldogs' defence in that match was very reminiscent of the Bulldogs' AFL defence.
Very much
move it out of the back line and very quickly.
And with our Paul, and you know, a lot of switches of play, you know, more so than Melbourne, you know, across the ground and trying to get out to the fat side of the field. And that's very doesn't surprise me. Paul Groves, he actually played under Luke Beveridge when Luke Beveridge was coaching the amateurs. So I think Jacobson will go highly. From Melbourne's side, almost their best player, I mean, unlike the Dogs, where a lot of their best players were already signed to a club, they had Karen Paxman, who wore number 4, and she was probably one of their best players.
She was very influential. Like, obviously, it didn't help too much for the Demons in terms of the final score. But she did have a very impactful game. She was very good around the ground.
She won a lot of the ball inside, outside, was very good for him. And she's probably lifted her draft stock as well. But because a lot of the players are already signed, you know, the Melbourne clubs need to sign Victorian based players. A lot of the players going through the draft didn't even play in that game. And also, there's just a few interesting takeaways. You know, I think Emma King played one of the best games. So Lauren Pierce, you know, the ex-basketballer, the ruck for Melbourne. What does that mean for how clubs draft their ruckmen? Rucks. To try and counter Emma Pierce. To counter Emma King, you know, do they try and be a bit more defensive with Emma King? Because Lauren Pierce won a heap of the ball. She had like 18 or 20 touches, but didn't have the same influence on the game as Emma King did. You know, Dogs won, had a massive clearance differential on that. And so do you think that the clubs will change up their, you know, their Rucks draft strategy?
It could really go either way, I think. They could probably look at, like, as we have said before on the podcast, they could probably look at drafting more basketballers basketball background because, the, you know, obviously...
Athleticism.
The athleticism and the height is obviously there.
Because Emma King's tall, but she's not tall. She's like 6'6", so they could get a... I'm surprised that more clubs haven't recruited ex-basketballers because if they could get like a a forward or a centre from basketball is like 6'3", 6'4", you know, 190 centimetres plus. That height difference could be a big deal, you know, when coming up against the Emmy Kings of the National Women's League next year.
Yeah.
So look, we'll go through the rookie signings in a short while. But I mean, I'm just surprised there hasn't been more of an orient towards basketball. Mm. And also, how clubs will defend Mo Hope. There's going to have to be team defense because no single player can stop it.
Yeah, I think was it McIntosh that played on Mo Hope?
Yeah, for a while.
She was under the pump. There was barely a moment during the game where she looked like she was in control of that contest.
Definitely, and so it just makes you wonder. I mean, I honestly think that I didn't expect so because I thought Melbourne and Bulldogs would have the pick of the talent. But if Collingwood and Carlton do well in the draft lottery that's coming up in grand final week and get early draft picks, Carlton with, you know, Arnell, Davey and Vessia, and Collingwood with Hope and King. Just as marketing guts, I think people are sleeping on him a lot. You know, people talking about Fremantle, and a lot of people were hoping Fremantle would do well, but a lot of their Western Australian talent, more than they would have liked, has been taken as priority picks and marquee. So I think a lot of people are sleeping on Collingwood and Carlton. So with Collingwood having Mo Hope, who's absolutely dominated, clubs will need to look to recruit good team defenders to block space in front of them. Mm. So it's a bit hard now as well because you compare the AFL, you know, where they're working full time, they can do video analysis, you know, look at structures and all that. So I think with the Women's League, they only have the 9 hours a league. A lot of it's going to be dedicated, you know, skills training and all that. They might have the same ability to structurally do team defense for a player like Mo Hope. So do you think that they'll just need to sign like a player who can learn very quickly with structures and that with a very limited amount of time?
I think that's probably the best way to go because a team defense isn't too bad of an idea.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You do leave other players open.
And 16 side, it's a lot harder to block. Yeah,
the freedom that the players have is just, it will completely counteract the team defense if they, you know, build it around one forward.
It also makes me wonder whether there's like an innate awareness of the game, because a lot of female footballers, you know, incrementally played the game. They might have played in their childhood, then stopped and started again, and that's the disappointing nature of women's footy, and hopefully that changes. But it makes you wonder whether someone's played a lot of footy over their career, you know, they just innately understand things like team defense a bit better than recruits from other sports, like, you know, structures and all that. And, you know, they will interview the coaches of the local clubs and that just to understand how these players understand team defense. So a lot of list management strategies probably thrown, not fully out of whack, but definitely retooled with just the dominance of Mo Hope. Because if Mo Hope just plays like that for Collingwood next year, they're surefire favourites for flag, I reckon, Collingwood.
Yeah.
Just no other club is a goal kicker like that, you know.
Mm. Now we'll move on to some of the signings from other clubs, such as Adelaide and Collingwood. There was news during the week that Adelaide signed Jed Anderson's brother, Jasmine, and she was recruited from soccer.
She played in the Northern Territory Soccer League, so I'm not sure how high quality that is, but by all accounts, she absolutely blitzed it, you know, leading goal scorer, MVP and that. So, yeah. And, you know, she's from Northern Territory, though, so that's, I'm guessing, why she played that. She's played footy in the past and definitely would show athleticism. Footy runs in the family and all that. So local recruitment area, gun athlete from the sport, probably an unsurprising selection, and definitely going to watch with interest next year. And this is exactly what the Women's League is for, to recruit, you know, players like Jasmine Anderson.
Yeah. Collingwood have also made a few signings as well. They've got Helen Roden, David Roan's brother, who was very prominent in the EJ Witten Legends game, along with Abby Holmes.
Kicked a few goals there, yeah.
And I think to combine that with a player like Moana Hope, although she probably won't have the same impact as Hope, from a forward line perspective, it's probably a very good signing by Collingwood.
Definitely, and it was just the EJ Witten Legends game. She certainly looked very promising in that game, especially for someone who hasn't played a lot of footy. And although she isn't tall like a lot of basketballs are, she's you know, might have a bit of that Scott Pendlebury aspect about her, you know, played a lot of like college basketball coaching, been in basketball a lot of her life, so might have that good work in traffic.
Mm. The Pies have also drafted Kate Sheen, who just happens to be Mike Sheen's daughter.
Yeah, and a gun, you know, athlete in her own right.
Yeah, and it's a bit like just with the fact that she is a pretty good athlete.
Yeah,
and the fact that they're probably going to look at the 16-a-side format for the first season.
Mm.
For just from a running capacity perspective, just in a way that they can move the ball up and down the field, it's probably yet another very good signing.
It's a bit hard to call it a good signing one way or another.
Well, just from the way I see it, it could turn out.
It could turn out, and it's only generating media coverage. But it's a bit hard to say it's a good signing one way or another because you just don't know how good these players are going to be. You hope the clubs do their due diligence in you know, testing these players out both athletically and skill wise, but just be hard to assess one way or another.
Mm. We didn't mention this for last week's podcast, but we have mentioned her during this podcast so far. But Caitlin Ashmore was picked up by the Lions as a priority pick, and as previously mentioned, also she played a very good game for the Dogs on the wing in the All-Star
game. Yeah, and you know, it was signed a week ago, so it seems like old news now. But it was after we recorded the podcast, and a great signing. They need midfielders. She certainly impressed in the game. And I'm not too sure about the rules as to why they could sign her. I don't think she had a pre-existing relationship with the club, but I think it was a priority pick. I think it was a priority pick because, you know, the Queensland talent is less strong than other states, so it gave them the ability to pre-sign players. So great signing by Brisbane, and hopefully she'll work well with the other players that they've signed.
Yeah, and just briefly on that, we've seen how a change to the game has impacted players in the AFL. I think I've mentioned before that Tom Scully has become a different player with the fact that they've cut the interchange caps.
Yeah, definitely.
And with the 16-a-side format coming into the game next season, a player like Caitlin Ashmore could probably take her game to another level.
Just getting out in space, you know, running there, and her kicking wasn't, you know, perfect, but you know, we were there at the game. We could see how she just sort of read the game well and got out in space and used her running capacity. And with more open space, she could be a massive X factor for the Lions next year. And I'm sure they were tooth and nail to sign her because they would have targeted her. They knew that they would have targeted maybe one Victorian player. They would have worked tooth and nail, targeted her, and got their player that they wanted.
Mm. And finally, we'll move on to the story regarding Carlton's intellectual property. Now, this gathered a lot of media attention during the week, and just a lot of it was stolen from. I didn't read too much into it. I wasn't sure. But from what I understand, a lot of property was stolen.
Well, okay, let's just be careful. You know, we don't want to talk about the actual contents of the property. You know, it's intellectual property, and we haven't seen it, so we don't know about their draft. But as far as I'm concerned, someone went to the VFL game
Icon Park,
saw a corporate box or an unused corporate box, and there was all the Carlton's, you know, intellectual property in regards to the women's league. You know, I'm not going to say any more than that. So he posted it online and on Facebook. The bloke saw it, claimed that the door was unlocked. Maybe who knows how true that is. But why would you leave it lying around, in an open space?
Why would it be left alone in the first place? Even if the door was unlocked.
Yeah.
Or locked or unlocked.
Why would you make it? If it was unlocked, why would you leave it unlocked? If it was locked, why would you leave it in view of the windows where someone who wanted to force open the door could force open the door because he saw what was in the room?
And then create this saga.
So you'd hope that other clubs wouldn't, if they had the information, wouldn't use it.
Mm.
You know, they just, because both legally and ethically, you just shouldn't do it.
Yeah, and it's a very touchy subject in many ways because it is their intellectual property. It's their, you know, obviously other clubs aren't really.
We,
yeah.
We've deliberately, you know, not tried to look for the content, and we're not going to talk about it. Even though, because it's about intellectual property, about list management, we shouldn't say anything more than that, and it'd be almost perfect for us to talk about, you know, ethically, legally, we don't want to touch our hands on it.
Yeah, that's why, that's probably why we're stuttering a bit, just to be careful about what we're saying.
Be careful about what we're saying. So you'd hope that other clubs don't use it. They might, but...
From an ethics standpoint, it's not...
Yeah, but because, you know, they've tanked it all offline, you know, we can't talk about it, but we can say Carlton certainly have a lot of investment into the draft. You know,
that's about as far as we can go.
About as far as we can go. And it's good to see that, you know, it's not good to see that they're leaving it wide open, but it's good to see that they're...
Devoting
such time and resources to the draft. Yeah, so just thought we'd mention it.
So with the draft lottery coming up very, very soon in grand final week, do you feel that, what do you feel will be the implications of that? How do you feel clubs will approach the draft?
Well, it seems that the draft lottery is just going to be a straight, same sort of sequence in every round. So if say Melbourne get the first pick, they'll get the first pick in every one of the 15 odd rounds.
Like the AFL draft.
Like that, which I think is a bit strange, because I should do, if you're into fantasy sports drafting, you know, there's a snake or a serpent or serpentine or whatever they call it, where you reverse each order. So, you know, Melbourne get the first pick in the first round and the last pick in the second round and first in the third and last in the fourth and so forth. Which is the way that they should do it, because what you want to do is even out the talent as much as you can among the four teams. But at the same time, though, you know, a lot of what they're doing for the Women's League, it's more about marketing than it is about, you know, the game itself. So if they make a big deal about the draft lottery in Grand Final week and make it a big marketable event, you know, they're not going to make it a complex process of, you know, reverse order draft. To make it easy to explain, easy to market, and just go, you know, oh, first pick, you know, like it's an actual draft sort of thing.
Yeah.
And, but I think it's not going to be that big of a deal, though, because I'm guessing every one of the four clubs have different draft boards, you know, they have different positions already in their marquee, so they're looking to build the list in different ways. So, irrespective of the results of the draft lottery or the order in which it's done, I don't think it's going to have huge ramifications. Like a team with it doesn't matter if you have pick one or pick four. The team that has the best list management strategy and drafts well will draft well from pick four or pick one.
Yeah, it just ultimately it comes down to like what the clubs are looking at signing and whether they feel they'll be good, and just who they're choosing in. Like a club like Brisbane with two key forwards, they won't be looking at.
But they're not in the Victorian draft. They're looking for Queensland talent.
Yeah. Well, just
from Victoria,
theoretically, a club like
from Victoria, you know, Lauren Arnell, Darcy Vessio are forward mids or mainly forwards, and then they got Brown and Davin, and Collingwood of Mo Hope and Emma King, and you know that. So they'll be looking. So Collingwood and Carlton will be looking for midfielders in the draft.
Yeah, because they've covered their bases.
They've covered their bases forward and back. In rucking that. So the Dogs, you know, Katie Brennan, Ali Blackburn, Emma Carney, three midfielders. Well, Brennan was a forward, but she played midfield in the All-Star game, so you'd think she'd play midfield next year.
Yeah.
Three midfielders. They're not going to probably draft midfielders until late in the draft.
Just from a depth perspective.
So you know, if they get, say Dogs get pick one in the draft lottery, boom, won't draft a midfielder, will draft a forward or back or a ruck or something. If they get pick four, won't draft a midfielder, you know, draft a key forward back. So like if Collingwood and Carlton draft midfielders and Dogs don't draft a midfielder, or Melbourne doesn't draft a midfielder in the first round, it doesn't matter what order the draft's in. And then once you get later in the order, you know, it's not, the draft order's not a significant way in the draft, because they're probably targeting specific players and that. So yeah, they're going to make it a big, huge fanfare, the draft lottery. But you know, I don't think it's that big of an issue from the impact on the quality of how they build their list.
Yeah, you're certainly right in that.
But we'll look forward to watching it. I'll be hoping that Dogs get pick one.
Yeah,
and you.
I'd like to see the Pies get pick one. Just Not because I have a bit of a soft spot for the Pies as a Pies fan, yeah. Growing up as a Pies fan, but just because it'd be interesting to see how they go about picking up players. Obviously, they've got a ruckman and they've got a key forward.
A ruck. Yeah.
They've got a ruck and a key forward.
Yeah.
And it'll just be interesting to see who they go for, considering that they've covered those bases.
And like we talked about, I think they should go for good kicks to deliver the ball into my hope. It'd be an interesting event from like a marketing perspective.
It'll be very interesting to see.
We've never had it. They've certainly taken the idea from American sports, you know, with the basketball, the draft lottery.
Yeah.
And trying to make it an event. So I'll watch it,
I would see it in terms of how they market it. I reckon they'll probably go about it in a similar way the AFL goes about the rookie draft.
Yeah.
Well,
specifically the draft lottery though. Will they, you know, have a lottery ball and then they?
I'd like to see something different just to change it up a little bit from the AFL drafts that we're so used to.
And it's going to be in the fun festivities of Grand Final week. So you know they do stuff in Fed Square for Grand Final week, where they have someone on the stage at Fed Square.
Maybe even on the big screen.
Getting one of the most prominent, you know, someone who developed female football, stick their hand in the ball, grab an envelope out or whatever and go, rip it out, boom, Melbourne, you know, pick one. How fantastic would that be?
Mm.
Even though I don't think it actually has much implications for the quality of list money, developing your list, but be interesting.
Yeah. We will conclude there for this week's podcast on the National Women's League. Thanks again, Nick, for joining us. It's been a pleasure to talk about the All-Star Game and all the other signings.
Fantastic. It was a great game, wasn't it?
Despite the fact it was probably blown out in the second half, it was very entertaining to watch.
Fantastic.
From a fan from the neutral.
And, you know, a peak of over a million people in Australia watching it on TV. A million people. It's more people than any other Saturday night game. Of footy in Australia, like it's just what better showcase for the women's league next year? Just absolutely fantastic.
And the crowd was a very decent crowd. In numbers, but just in atmosphere.
It will do fantastic things for the growth of the game. Just absolutely brilliant.
Yeah. Anyway. Thanks again, Nick, for joining us.
Family.
We will speak about the National Women's League next week. Until then, see you soon.
See you guys.